The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Brian's prayer was very convicting, as always, to the men. We're just a wreck, Brian. Help us, you know. Lord, help us all. But thank God we're working on our dark issues, always, I hope. And the simplest way to do it is to throw whatever in your life stumbles you in the trash. There it is. There it is. Hard won experience there. All right. What I want to do is read you some scripture, then we're going to talk. I want you to think about the scripture. I hope, in a sense, it's a prophetic moment always, that God is speaking through even the days and moments that these things are selected. They're selected somewhat in advance because we're going in kind of a group of troops going forward, and the next line, the next line, the next line. Here we go. 1 Timothy 6, 6, 1 through 10. It's not up there on your screen, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the guy he needed, his right-hand man, Timothy. And when you're with your son, you give him everything you got. And I hope all of you are sons of the Father, daughters of the Father. You give your son and your children every piece of vital information you possibly can. We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. That's sober teaching. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content, Timothy. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Why, that's counterindication relative to the American dream, in a sense, isn't it? We'll talk about this, but this is a moment where I'm saying there are dark forces in the land, always have been, always will be. And they are driven by the invisible world, yes, but the way they drive is through lying promises. If only you had enough money, then you'd be happy. If you had a different wife or husband, then you'd be happy. All these lies floating through our minds, floating through our veins in an attempt to take our eye off the ball. Paul has his eye on the ball, but it's a different ball. It's a different world. It's a different construct. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Those who desire to be rich. And then he goes in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. I have friends that travel in the yachting world. I have a relative who's now gone to be with the Lord who had his 80-foot yacht and his Rolls Royce and all this. And I'm telling you, I have had the privilege and the tragic sorrow of knowing rich people and what they endure as their riches attempt to drag them down. You'll remember the story of Midas, who, in a sense, prayed for the power to have gold. And anything he touched would become gold until he touched his food and it became gold and he could no longer eat. There was a negative consequence to his foolish prayer to rather foolish imaginary gods that man made up in his mind and his literature. And yet they do speak wisely on that particular point, especially when he touched his daughter and she turned into an idol of gold. And in essence, was killed by his own lusts for these material things. Ephesus was a town that lived in a sense, in a fantasy sense, under the exaltation and the examination of one of the goddesses in the pantheon of Greek and Roman goddesses. They were all intertwined. The Greeks were the older group of people. They were more serious about their gods and goddesses. The Romans, more like they liked them. They liked to make statues of them, but they weren't really buying it all. You see, everyone knew that certain brilliant writers had concocted these tales to try to make sense of their universe. There was no inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, these folks were having relationships, immoral relationships with humans. From a Christian or a Jewish perspective, this was a nightmarish philosophy. And it was working the people out and destroying them in a certain sense. There's no question about that. No question about it. So if one were to listen to, for example, Artemis of the Ephesians, one might get himself in a lot of trouble. Ephesus, what a town that was. It was a super city. Think New York. Think whatever major city you want to think of, maybe a beautiful Washington, D.C., beautiful in certain regards in terms of architecture, the temple to Artemis, Diana, the goddess of hunting, and other things, as we'll discuss, was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was so magnificent. I believe it had 60 columns that held it up. It was ultimately silted down. It disappeared. It vanished. Her temple no longer exists. These things were fancies and fantasies. It was buried under a baize silt. It was not until 1869 that they rediscovered certain columns or things from that particular temple, and I believe it was 1965 when finally they found parts of the altar to Artemis, with the wind blowing and the sand shifting as if to say, this stuff is so impermanent. Artemis was traditionally venerated, worshipped, and adored. She was a goddess like all these gods, made after the image of men. The things we love. Who doesn't love animals? We love animals. We love the idea of animals, and unless a tiger is coming at us, then we don't love them so much. Yeah. And she was the goddess of animals, but she was also a huntress, so there was kind of a binary thing going on in her, wasn't he? On one point, she wanted to protect them, and on the other point, she wanted to shoot them. Except Artemis was not simply the goddess of hunting and concerned with chastity, which was one of her legendary things in one concoction of who she was. The other side of it was she had little nymphs and helpers along the way, and she loved to dance. Therefore, her helpers would go out in the fields and streams and dance in wild and lascivious style. Oh, doesn't it seem very much like man? Untethered from what keeps him safe and sound, what makes him strong, going to a place of multiple partnerships and thinking that he's going to get away with that without being crushed by his immorality. What kind of a goddess was that? And yet she was one of the better of the groups. The queen and huntress was also called the chaste and fair in one epoch by one group, while the other group knew that cult prostitutes were being dispatched by this deity in order to service the men and other personages in local communities. Strange. You know, when we last were reading about Ephesus and what was going on, Paul was there, and you'll remember he was preaching the gospel first to the Jewish people and then to the others. And God was backing up what he said with signs and wonders. Now, are these fantasies or not? Well, people were willing to go and be killed based on these fantasies, as we'll see in this thing, because they saw it as reality. When their sister was healed of something, really and for real, and there was a direct correlation between a prayer and an answer, the mathematics of that was powerful. When you actually see that, that's not Diana of the Ephesians or Artemis of the Ephesians. That is the God who created the heavens and the earth, the one triune God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. People in the synagogues that Paul went to became stubborn, and so he had to back away. We'll remember he was in the hall of Tyrannus for 2 years holding forth, and I told you last time that people came to hear him, not because of simply what he said, but because God backed him up in what he said. When he said not to do something, God blessed that in an individual's life. When he said to do something, God blessed that in an individual's life. Many years ago, we were looking for a home, and we went to a certain place, and nothing seemed available that was the right thing. I got a phone call, and a lady said to me she was part of the church, and she wanted to sell us her house. It was in Oakton, Virginia. I was a youth minister. I was probably making the equivalent in today's money of $35,000 or $40,000 a year. I probably had 6 children at that time. Who knows? Maybe I had all 9 of them. And it was the most beautiful gesture. And I said, We could not possibly pay for that particular house, but thank you so much for your kindness and thinking about us. But a voice in my mind, this is how crazy I am, as I sought the Lord about it, said, someday you will live in that house. Oh. Years later, I went to the Lord in prayer in my office at my church, and I said, Lord, there are two prayers that things I felt you said to me, spoke to my heart by the Holy Spirit. They're materialistic things, but it kind of stumbled me. It never happened. There was just a moment when I did that. Within a week or two, some very short period of time, within 1 week, one of the prayers was dramatically answered. The things that I'd prayed for, long story short, were given to me. I gave it away. I didn't need it, didn't want it anymore. It wasn't a wise purchase, and that's probably why the Lord didn't allow me to have it in the first place and protected me from it. The second thing was this house. I said, Lord, you said we would live there someday. And my best recollection was I was on a retreat, and I got a phone call and said, Bill, we want to rent you our house for $1,000 a month. At that time, maybe in today's money, I don't know what it would be, but it was incredibly little, and they rented it to us at that rate for, I think, 22 years. It's a beautiful home with a large side yard, and we filled it with children to such a degree that people in the neighborhood thought we were running a foster home. What I'm trying to tell you is, the Lord leads us and guides us. To the degree that people began to repent of their evil deeds in Ephesus, after hearing Paul and seeing the mighty works that he was done through people, healing mental illness and demonic possession, people in their communities were being changed and given life by something beyond themselves. It was very mysterious and very mighty. And these people feared the Lord in the best sense. They had a reverential awe of what this God, who seemed to be actually real, was about to do. And in that area, the word of God increased mightily. And the people involved in the magic arts gave, as you'll remember, 50,000 pieces of silver worth of magic junk and burned it all. That is, in today's money, approximately $7 or $8 million of stuff off their shelves that they came to believe stumbled them and broke them because they were either false or impure or immoral. They got rid of that. And the word increased mightily. Now, Acts 19. Now, after these events, I'm going to read the whole thing, then comment. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. I must see the capital of the world. I'm out to change my world, and I'm going to the tippy top of the thing. He has here a plan, and he has a pathway, and he has personnel. And in that first line, I won't read it all in a row. In the first line, he says he resolved in the Spirit. Now, what I'm telling you from experience is, I think that you should always consider stepping out tenderly on the ice of seeking the Lord for guidance. You can hear at least three voices, right? The voice of yourself, sometimes that's loud and clear. The voice of some dark thing that enters in. The voice of someone else whose philosophy you're buying into. Or perhaps, as you go through this process, perhaps it is worth praying and seeking the Lord. David did it constantly. David, a man after God's own heart. His people were captured at a place called Ziklag. It's a long story. The short story is captured, his wife, his children. The whole community was attacked when the fighting men weren't in the community. And they were disappeared, maybe forever. And David is about to be killed by his people. And he begins to pray. He says, God, what should I do? Should I go after them? This is David, this brilliant warrior, and he's asking questions of an invisible God. Should I go after them or should I wait and see? And the Lord said, go after them. If he had not, who knows what would have happened? When he went, in obedience to what the Holy Spirit was saying to him, he conquered that group of people and he captured back his whole family. And you will find over and over, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, which is when David commits adultery and in essence murder, he did not seek the Lord in that moment, but he sought his own desire, and it crushed him and brought division into the kingdom. Now, in the final analysis, we all thank God for David, because a man who did something that evil was forgiven, cleansed, and the Lord Jesus came out of his line of succession. But I wouldn't test the Lord that way if I were you. Oh, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to go certain places. He got on a pathway because he has a plan, which is to reach his world. What is your plan? What is your pathway to accomplish what you're dreaming about? And you may not have the plan, but someone else in your immediate small group may. This is why, and my point here this morning is, we need each other. We need each other. We cannot reach, point one, we cannot reach the world on our own. I don't know what I would have done. He's here this morning, so I'll say, I don't know what I would have done without Brian Roberts. He was the most encouraging, positive man you can imagine. That I had this guy working for me is functional insanity. I should have been kissing his shoes every day of his life. He was so good at what he did. And then he made the colossal good decision to marry that girl Sarah there. All the rest is history. And you know, he was so good at what he did that leaders in the United States Armed Forces beckoned him and begged to have him come work for them. Hope this isn't going out to you, General, but just saying. Thank you, Brian. Now, so God had a plan for the King's Chapel, but he also had personnel. And he brought Brian to us, and you can believe I prayed before I hired Brian. I didn't know who he was in a deep way. You just have your interviews. But I loved him from the start, and the rest is history. There was a plan, in effect, but to reach our world, we need each other. You are all gifted, but your gifts are limited so that you could draw next to someone else. Your wife, sir, is a prize. You're a fool if you step away from her. The things you perceive as her weaknesses are in all likelihood your strengths. They're the things that she brings to you that you desperately need. Anybody that knows the inner workings of my family knows that my wife is gifted at administration and planning. Much of what you see in the church that has any kind of managerial skill to it is from my wife. And it's from Diana White, who lived with me off and on partly since she was 9 years old. I take credit. Her mom and dad deserve all the credit, but she's our girl as well, and she's with me. And we saw these gifts at work. We need each other. We cannot reach our world on our own. Number two, beware, we will get to this in a moment, how the love of money can diminish and destroy your life. Artemis was not nearly the god that silver and little silver temple images were to that particular city. We'll talk about that in a minute. But their troubles in that city revolved around a demonic power that emanated from material blessings. Strange, but isn't it always true? Back to the yachtsmen, you know what they'll say around the yachts sometimes? They'll talk about the marriages that were left behind them because of their pursuit of pleasure, power, and power boats. I heard a man who is now with the Lord, and we all know he had a struggle, but Ravi Zacharias, speaking of Ted Turner, he was interviewed on a show, and they said, what is the biggest regret you had of your life? And he said, it was the way I treated my first wife. One of the richest men on earth, when questioned about what undermined him in his heart and mind, it was the way he handled his marriage and subsequent divorce. I thank him for that wisdom. Beware how the love of money can diminish and destroy your life. Face the mob when it comes at you with love, respect, and gentility, and let the Spirit lead you in every endeavor. Show respect to authority. We are at this moment undermining ourselves as a nation. Be someone authorities want to fight for. Now, after these events, Paul has done his miracles. He resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia. He had a plan, he had pathway and personnel, and having been sent into Macedonia, two of his helpers, these are his partners, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. We all need people different from us, gifted in different ways. About that time there arose no small disturbance concerning the way for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, note the word silver and then the word smith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, little trinkets, but they're made of silver, they're expensive. Shrines of Artemis brought no little business to the craftsmen. There was a system of business people. He was possibly the president of the union, and he could gather them to get his way. It's just like any place at the White House. I'm sure they have little trinkets and things they sell. These were expensive trinkets, and in some way your purchasing them would help, I suppose, that mighty goddess Artemis and her ministry to the people. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. Here's how we make our money, right? And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people. Paul is being effective in what he's doing. He's not effective. God, the Holy Spirit, is effective in Paul. He's turned away a great many people saying gods made with hands are not gods. You mean this thing I made in the art class and went into the kiln and was hardened and fired up, that's not a god? Help me, somebody, help me. If I made that thing and I bowed down to worship it, you could put me in the nut house. That doesn't make any sense. But the possibility that something made all this, that is a question that the Greeks and the Romans were asking. Who is that someone is the thing? It's certainly not the clay pot I just made, nor is it a tiny shrine, nor is it a building. Men, you know from this business we have our wealth. And this guy is saying that the gods made with hands are not gods. They were attempting to fill a God-shaped vacuum in the human soul with the things they made. And it wasn't working. And there's danger that not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but that also the temple of the great goddess may be counted as nothing. And that she may be even deposed from her magnificence. She whom all Asia and the world worship, the whole world's coming apart because I'm losing bucks. Let's get serious here, people. If my business goes south, I'm hurting. Wait a minute. Why don't you just ask the magnificent Diana to help you? If she's so powerful and amazing, she's going to disappear because Paul has a philosophy, an idea that's different. One man is making that difference. How is that possible apart from the activity, power, and miracles that the Holy Spirit brings to him and through him? When they heard this, they were enraged and crying out, they said, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. The people sell themselves and their consciences for silver. So the city was filled with confusion. We have mobs in our day. The city is filled, and my country is filled with confusion. They rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. Here's where the love of money left Demetrius. He is putting people forward in order potentially to get them murdered. Is this how his goddess has led him to this point in this moment? Is this is it the madness of money? And it's lust for it that has led him to this place because he's incredibly insecure in a world where Artemis is queen. That dog will not hunt. I can tell you from certain experience that Jesus Christ changes lives from the inside out for the best. Now some cried out one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they were together. Does that sound familiar? This is mob rule. Most of them, some say this is a point of humor with Luke. They didn't even know why they're there. Just they're just milling about. The party's happening. What's going on here? Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, this is a Jewish man, we don't know much about him, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand, wanting to make a defense to the crowd. We think that what he's going to say is, I'm Jewish, I'm a believer in the one God, but these Christians are crazy. This is one suggestion commentators make. It is also possible he was a Christian Jew, and he was going to try to defend this. Oh, poor guy. Well, they didn't tolerate that for 5 seconds. They said, sit down and shut up, basically. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours, they cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Why do people start screaming louder when they're challenged? Do we know what being defensive is? That this defines defensiveness. If I scream loud enough, maybe I can't hear the truth, and that is that my life is crazy, and I'm extremely scared I'm going to lose my business. And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis, and that the sacred stone that fell from the sky, probably a meteorite had hit the town, and they ascribed that to Diana, to Artemis." He's trying to calm them down by reassuring them that Artemis is real, because apparently they need it. "Now, seeing that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet. Calm down, will you? Do nothing rash, for you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess." They knew this about Christians. Thank God the Roman Empire had interviewed these guys over and over again about their kingdom. Is our kingdom of this world? Huh? Is the kingdom of God something that is to come and live within you? Should that threaten Artemis, Diana, or even Nero? No, it only threatens those that are mad, crazy, demon-possessed, and mentally ill, as Nero was, as he fried Christians for a living. "If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone," this is the town clerk, this guy reports to Rome, and he's trying to get this right, and they can't have disturbances and mob rule because they are well controlled and dominated, in a sense, by Roman justice, Roman courts, and Roman authority. Pray for authority. "Let them bring, if something's wrong, let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly." We're going to use our courts to do their job. Calm down, go home, be at peace, we're handling it. For we really, really are in danger of being charged with rioting today. They do not put down the penalty here, but it may have been a number of people going to prison, being whipped, or being executed. "For we really are being in danger, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Now, I want to conclude with this. We've had here a moment where riot has broken out. And I want to tell you, it is based on the love of money. If the orchestra could come up, please. It's based on people's priorities being off. There is nothing more beautiful than the priorities Jesus Christ had, which was laying his life down for men. Do you think he would be rioting for little silver trinkets? Couldn't they have just said, "Isn't this an amazing temple? Don't you want a model of it?" Without having any supernatural thing, any manipulative game played on the people. They risked people's lives because they love things too much. Friends, this is probably the central issue in your dear country and in every country right now. Who is your God? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, mammon or riches, by your grace and enablement, will not be our God. But you have promised you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ. And we remember the words of the sweet psalmist that said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God will care for his children even in the time of COVID. If any of you who hear my voice have agreed with what I've said and admitted you need help, be believed Christ is the only Savior. If you want to choose to follow him in a public way right now, just raise the hand of your heart and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I'm off center, I'm off kilter. I've loved things more than your way and your word. Come into my life, make me the kind of person you want me to be." If that's your prayer, he hears it and he receives you right now. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.